arrest constitutional amendment. And just so you know the intent of that, it needs to get out, if it's going to be considered this session, it needs to get out of state and local government. So the intent here today would be purely to move it along for that purpose and have them re-refer it back to rules. So we will have it back here for an opportunity to thoroughly discuss the bill, because I know there are potentially some concerns about it. But the intent wouldn't be to let it out of here and not see it again. The intent is to just send it to state and local so they can meet the deadline, and then state and local's committee report will be that it comes back to rules. So we'll have an opportunity to have a full discussion about the bill on another day if we ever take it up. And there's not a lot of point in us taking up if it's dead in the water or in the house, right? So we just want to meet the deadline in the event we do want to move forward with it. So if we could kind of all understand that, we're going to get another bite at it. So after state and local has done whatever they're going to do to it. So, Senator Lemire.
I was on the Finance Committee when this bill was considered. And or was it election? It was Finance. Oh, election. I was on the Elections Committee when this bill was considered. And I was just wondering why we didn't make the motion to send it directly to state and local rather than to the rules. Was that an oversight on the part of just the procedure?
The Elections, Senator Limmer, is a subcommittee of rules, so they have to send their bills to rules.
All right. I understand.
So Senator Cohen moves to adopt the subcommittee report to get the bill in condition. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion prevails. The bill is now in front of us. Senator Newman, you have something before we have Senator Rest?
I assume what, how do I phrase this? We have your assurances that Senate File 1082 leaves this committee. It will come back to this committee before it goes to the floor.
Correct.
And it is your sort of unspoken request that we cut our discussions a little bit short today as to the merits of the bill. And this is purely a procedural stop along the way.
Senator Newman, that is correct.
And we probably aren't going to hear a long discussion from Senator Rest as to the merits of the bill. We're really going to hear just a procedural motion. Is that your understanding?
Senator Newman, I have requested that Senator Rest simply move the paper over to state and local, and we reserve our explanation and discussion about the bill until it's actually in front of us for some real action other than moving paper.
Well, I would say that.
Mr. Chairman, with that understanding, you can make a motion, Senator Rest. With that understanding, there are things about this bill that I do want to discuss. I will withhold that discussion and respect your wishes for purposes of today's
motion. Senator Newman, I appreciate that, and it may be that it gets back here and we never even take it up. I don't. So I guess I can't assure you we're going to take it up, because I'm not sure we're ever going to move it to the floor, but for today's purposes.
Thank you, Mr.
Speaker. Away from her.
Yeah, we just pulled her mic.
Senator Rest, welcome to the Rules Committee.
Yes, so, huh? Mr. Chairman, this Senate file 1082 is a proposal dealing with a constitutional amendment about the way in which we elect members of the judiciary. I appreciate the comments. I wasn't intending to go through it section by section, Senator Newman, Senator Limmer. It does need to make one more stop before it comes back to the Rules Committee, and that is to state and local, because it involves the establishment and changes in the statutes with regard to commissions, and so that's why state and local needs to see it. Every bill that deals, as I understand it, that deals with a constitutional amendment last stop before the floor, on regardless of where it's been before, always comes back to rules, and it's never considered on the floor unless the Rules Committee has a substantive discussion of it. There is a technical amendment that I actually would prefer that it's been identified. It's just changing a number six to the word six. But, Mr. Chairman, I just assume wait and do that in state and local as well.
Any other discussion, members?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
I know that there's a growing number of people that are following this bill, those who are opposed to the bill in the public eye. And I want to make an emphasis that this procedure that we're voting on now is a procedural vote, and it's not to be confused with anything that would be considered a vote in favor or even opposed to the bill. It's simply and strictly procedural. And we will have our substantive vote in the future if it gets to that point.
Senator Limmer, that's the...
That is absolutely my understanding at all. And I acknowledge from the committee your opposition to the bill, Senator Newman's opposition to the bill, and I don't... But you weren't on the committee, on the elections committee, and I think that should be noted, at least on the tape, in our conversation.
That's the chair's intent also, simply a procedural motion to meet the committee deadline. Once it's back here, the Rules Committee is not subjected to the committee deadline, so then we can take it up at any time.
Or not.
Senator Cohen moves Senate File 1082 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on State and Local Government. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no?
No.
The motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Riss.
I want to make motions without even speaking.
I
like that.
Text message.
Senator Anderson. Senator Anderson B., welcome to the Committee on Rules and Administration. The committee has in front of it Senate File 208. Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Bach, I have an amendment that was just drafted just recently, and Mr. Bodden could probably give me an idea of the exact concern that we are adding this amendment to my bill. I wasn't aware of it until I got here this morning, so if Mr. Bodden could pass out the amendment, that would help get it in the form that it's needed to before the committee.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
I noticed that this passed out of my committee last year, and why did it go to rules then? I don't remember why.
Gift ban. Jurisdiction of the rules committee.
I'm sorry, the Veterans Honor and Remember Flag?
Maybe I'll ask counsel to...
exception to the gift ban?
To communicate the jurisdiction issue.
Mr. Chairman and members, if you look on page 3, seven, creates an exception from the gift ban for the donation of honor and remember flags.
And the gift ban's in election. Okay, thank you.
Senator Anderson, what are we doing with your bill?
Well, Mr. Chair, the honor and remember flag, if someone could move that amendment to get it in the form that I like, I could explain that.
I'll move it.
Senator Newman moves the A3 amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like it. Senator Pappas, the bill was in your committee, and you're okay with the A3? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All motion passes. A3 is adopted. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senators, the honor and remember flag is a official symbol of the state's commitment to military service members who have lost their lives in service to our country. And the reason that it's before you is that these men and women have served our United States military and have died for our country for more than 200 years. They represent a unique and distinct category of individuals along with their families that sent them, that deserve a symbol of recognition, a visual emblem of honor. Until the Honor Remember flag was conceived, there was no such nationally recognized symbol. As a nation, we have flags that symbolize everything. Each state has their own flag. Every branch of the service has their own flag. There is a POW MIA flag, and every veterans organization has their own flag, every college, high school organization, and so on. Yet the one single group that sacrificed their all to allow us to fly every flag freely has no public recognition. It's important that their lives and families be specifically remembered and thanked. The Honor Remember flag is not a replacement of our Stars and Stripes or to the POW MIA flag, nor is it intended to diminish their meaning or stature. It was thoughtfully created to fill a void and complete the circle of tribute. With all three, we comprehensively and publicly give tribute to those veterans who served, those who are captured and need to be brought home, and those who are still missing and need to be found. Those we know who gave the ultimate sacrifice, let none be forgotten. And I have individuals who, if the chair would like, are here to speak on behalf of the Honor Remember flag, Mr. Mike LaBelle, Miss Jill Stevenson, Mr. Jerry Kaiser, and Miss Val Kennedy, and two of them are Gold Star mothers. And prior to my wife's decease, she was a Blue Star mother who I still have my oldest daughter serving in the Air Force in Germany right now. So, and looking at this flag and seeing the individuals and families who've lost loved ones serving our country, I felt this flag was very much a good opportunity to at least allow them to have that as an honor remember. I have a pin on my tie that clasp that shows the honor remember flag. I don't know if any of them have brought the flag itself. There's a flag there. If you could just hold that up, that'd be great so that committee members could see what it looks like.
This one is personalized with our son's name.
I think on the bottom of the flag it shows the name of the person that gave their all for their country for that, and it's been passed in many states already, and we would be another state added to that contingent of states throughout the United States. And so it's not to replace our present-day flag, but to give a recognition of those people who gave their all for the families here in the state of Minnesota. And it's before the committee for your indulgence.
Senator Anderson, the reason the bill is here is because of the gift ban provision.
Understand.
We're really not here to debate the bill.
Right.
And the practice of the Rules Committee is to not take testimony on bills.
Okay.
But I think these people have, some of them maybe come a long way. So I think if it's okay with the committee, maybe we'll make an exception to our normal practice in the Rules Committee of not allowing testimony. If our testifiers would be willing to keep it to a minute or so, if that's okay with the members of the Rules Committee, we'll make kind of an exception. So I believe I have a list of four people that would like to testify, and you're welcome to all kind of work your way down to the end of the table where Senator Anderson is, Mr. LaBelle, Ms. Stevenson, Kennedy, or Mrs. Kennedy, and Jerry Kaiser. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning. My name is Mike LaBelle. I'm the Director of Honor and Remember in Minnesota. I'd like to start off saying that in Minnesota, we've given out over 160 of these personalized flags to Gold Star families. That includes World War II, Korea and Vietnam, and all the war on terror. It's a Gold Star father from Virginia that's started this about 6 years ago. I met him out in Ogden, Utah at a Patriot Guard national meet. He took my breath away when he told me what he was doing. And I was jumped right on board to help. He was here a few years ago, a bunch of senators and representatives were across the street at the Armory when he was here. And it's something that really needs to be done. There's a couple of misconceptions about this. The trademark was one. The reason that Honor Remember had a trademark is to protect the integrity of the flag. And in doing so, they have to be made here in the United States. POW flags are made in Vietnam. And to me, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and that's a slap in the face. But they're being made all over, counterfeit. I know that Minnesota American flag has to be made here in the United States, and that's
good.
So what honorary member did is gave all rights and trademark to the American Flag Company. And then what they did is any flag company here in the United States can make this flag, and they are. There's several of them. The trademark is not ours anymore. And it's wide open for anybody in the United States to make that flag. We have some Gold Star families here, and I've given out 160 of these flags. I've met every family. And what that flag means to them is unbelievable. It doesn't give them closure, but it gives them some confidence that their loved ones will never be forgotten. Right now, there's 19 states that have adopted this flag, and I think it's 13 other states endorsed it. South Dakota, that's going through right now. Wisconsin, I was there last session, and it took 2 weeks for them to endorse this flag. I mean, Pennsylvania, the ones that have adopted it, they fly it 365 days a year. We're not asking for that. Same thing in Texas. So hopefully this will get through this committee. I would like to bring up a couple of Gold Star families quick.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Lavelle, Senator Cohen, I have a question, Mr. Lavelle.
If I could just ask a quick question. With the work you've done, does the Department of Defense or some other place keep a list of Gold Star families so you can get in touch with them to let them know what's going on?
Yes. And that's all confidential. We do not give out any addresses, phone numbers, nothing. The flag companies that make these flags, they're distributors. They give a donation to Honor and Remember National for $5 a flag. The flags that fly, the 3x5s, are like $40. And I'll tell you, they're made right. I've had one out in the front of my house for 3 years. Looks brand new. This flag is intended to fly under the POW/MIA flag. The lawyers and research people at Honor and Remember did one heck of a job with this. There were so many problems with the POW/MIA flag, it took 18 and a half years. This should have been done 200 years ago.
Mr. Lavelle, thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to testify?
Thank you, Senators. My name is Jill Stevenson, and I'm a Gold Star mother to Army Ranger Corporal Benjamin Kopp. I just have a brief statement to read that I've had prepared for about 2 years now and hoping to be in this chair. I received an Honor and Remember flag after the death of my only child in July of 2009. He was an Army Ranger serving in Afghanistan on his third tour of duty. He was 21. I had no idea at the time that such a flag even existed, and learning the reason for its existence invoked a new level of pride and honor in me for my son's sacrifice. Knowing that it came to fruition by the efforts of another Gold Star father whose son is buried at Arlington National Cemetery only a few rows from my own brought a sense of kinship to me as well. The men and women the Honor and Remember flag honors laid down their lives to protect what America's flag represents. This is a flag to honor the flag our loved ones died for and the purity and the truth of those sacrifices. I am incredibly proud of my son's loyalty to his country and believe the Honor and Remember flag gives each state the opportunity to say thank you to all of the families who have paid the ultimate price at the altar of freedom. It also puts to rest the notion that our loved ones will not be forgotten as we watch this beautiful flag fly over our state capitol, blowing not by the wind, but by the very last breath of all those that it honors and remembers.
Very good. Stevenson, thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us. My name is Valerie Kennedy. I am the mother of Specialist Joseph Allen Kennedy, who was killed in action in Afghanistan April 15th, 2011. We received many things following Joe's death. There were medals. There were, of course, the folded flag. There were many symbols given in honor of his passing and his sacrifice. The Honor and Remember flag is by far the most valuable to us. Each year, we're coming up on the third anniversary, but each year prior, we have flown the Honor and Remember flag in honor of Joe on April 15th. We do so publicly. We fly it also independently when on his birthday and commemorating other days at home. We intend to do it again every year on April 15th. And it is a show of his sacrifice, but not just his alone. As Jill said, there's so many over the course of our history that have laid down their lives for forging the very freedoms that we enjoy today. So this truly is a very heartfelt symbol to recognize that service and sacrifice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Kennedy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen and ladies. My name is Jerry Kaiser. I'm the executive co-chairman of the Military Action Group, and I'm the director of the Minnesota Twin Cities Honor Flight. We take World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. for free. This flag is a bridge between those generations. During World War II, when you had a deceased military person, they were given the Gold Star. This is this generation's gold star. Because that gold stars were given out in those days are not around. You can buy them. But this one is to honor these young men and women who've been in this war. There's 76,000 World War II veterans that still haven't been found yet, 8,000 Korea, about 1,700 Vietnam veterans, of which I'm a combat veteran from that war. And it's an honor for me to be involved with these folks and these Gold Star moms to be able to honor them. That American flag is the last blanket that an American soldier gets to wear on his casket, and it's given to that family. This can be flown every day. My son-in-law is a Marine F-18 pilot, and Saturday they will be burying Captain Manning. He was killed. He was a decorated Afghan and Top Gun pilot. He was killed March 1st, and we're going to get him one of these flags for that family on Saturday as soon as we can. And it just gives that mother, who I've met, he has four children that he's left behind, that Marine captain. And so this flag will mean a tremendous thing to that family. Whatever we can do to help facilitate this, it's certainly our honor to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kaiser. Member, Mr. LaBelle, sure.
I don't know if you noticed that on those sheets, not everybody got them. I didn't bring them up. On the back, all the endorsements we have. All kinds of military endorsements and general. Frontier Communications here in Minnesota, nationally, they jumped on board. NASCAR, I don't know if you've seen the last race, they had 50 flags up for 50 states. I mean, this is the way this is going. Most of our donations that we've received here in Minnesota came from the VFWs and the American Legion. There was some kind of negative thing going on with the state commander, but he's no longer there because of the state.
Lubell, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Members, any questions for Senator Anderson? Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question. Senator Anderson, reading the language, I noted that you cited some dates that would be appropriate dates. And I'm just curious if you have any knowledge. I know that you have July 2nd and July 3rd. And, I'm not sure personalized would be the right word, but that it's drafted relative to something important to the state of Minnesota. Do other states do that as well, if there's some particular date of engagement important to that state? Do you know offhand if that's the case?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, I do not know.
Any other questions? Do you need a motion? We have a veteran on the committee. I think a veteran should probably move the provision.
Mr. Chairman, I'm honored to do so. I move we adopt Senator Anderson's bill.
Senator Hand moves Senate File 208 be recommended to pass. And members, as amended, this will go to the floor. Any discussion? Senator Pappas.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we really didn't discuss actually the appropriateness of being able to accept free flags, which is the exception from the gift ban. So I think we should at least say that, that's what we're here for, is to decide. Is that something that we as public officials feel that we can, a way that we can support this effort by accepting flags that we could display in our offices? Or what? You know, why is the reason for us getting free flags?
Mr. Chair and Senator Pappas. This here came to me this morning, and I was not aware. I was coming with prepared to present the bill as is. So maybe Mr. Bodden can give me a better explanation than what it kind of got just
we
dropped
need
on
this
me. Like
in order to have it right. For the capital.
So, Mr. Chairman and members, the bill as it came to the committee has an exemption from the gift ban. Page 3, line 12, provides an exemption from sections 10A.071. And 471.895, the gift ban for public officials. And what it allows is for the public official to accept a donation of the honor and member flags for the purposes of this section, which is the text of the bill, and will be limited to accepting flags that are used for display at the public buildings, governmental buildings or facilities within this state,
so
and
not
for personal use.
It's any public official.
It's incorrect. And it is limited to use for the purposes of this section, unlike pretty much everything else in the gift ban. So,
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, I'd also point out, Mr. Bodden, I'm not sure we needed it because of the language on 1.23 of the amendment is already in there, and I think that would cover it, but it doesn't hurt to put it in this one either.
That might get it.
I think it may provide some comfort to some elected official who lost a family member and because of our law weren't able to accept the flag.
I see.
Mr. Chair, my point is that's already exempted under the other clause, but just to make it clear, I don't think it hurts to have it.
Any other discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. If you're no, the motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.